from WBUR Boston. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The youth vote in 08 was huge, loud and proud and big for Barack Obama. Young voters poured into the polls. 2012, we'll see. Surveys before Election Day point to a smaller turnout by the young. But young Americans are watching and listening and weighing their vote. They will live with the future we all choose. This hour on Point, we're listening to young voters, campus voters, college newspaper editors about the choice in 2012. You can join the conversation. Young voters, who's got your vote next Tuesday? Obama? Why? Romney? Why? Let us hear from you. You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Do Barack Obama and Mitt Romney want votes of young voters? You bet they do. Here's the president speaking to a crowd of students at Ohio University in Athens on October 17th. Said his 2011 reform of the federal student loan program was critical to helping college students through the Great Recession.
Let's stop giving banks and lenders billions of dollars as middlemen for the student loan program. Let's cut out the middlemen and give the money directly to students. That's how we kept your student loan interest rates low. That's how we expanded Pell Grants.
And here yesterday, speaking to students at the University of Miami in Coral Gables, Florida, Mitt Romney said students are facing huge problems on the jobs front, and that needs to change.
We have an economy that is not creating the jobs that the American people need. Many of you from University of Miami here today know that when you graduate, you want to have a good job. And right now, about half the kids coming out of college can't find work or college-level work, despite the fact of having large student debts, and I want to change that.
We will hear from young voters across the country and the political map today. We start in Ohio and Virginia. With us from WOSU in Columbus, Ohio, is Caleb Bissinger, editor-in-chief of the Kenyon Collegian, senior majoring in English at Kenyon College in Gambier, Ohio, native of Philadelphia, but voting in Ohio. Caleb Bissinger, welcome to On Point. Great to have you.
Thanks, Tom.
And from Charlottesville, Virginia, Nicole Bailey's here, editor-in-chief of the Virginia Advocate, alternative news magazine at the University of Virginia, a junior majoring in political philosophy, policy, and law at UVA. She's a native of Haymarket in Northern Virginia, where she's already sent in her absentee ballot. Nicole Bailey, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tom.
Okay, let's get it on the record here. If you've got a choice, Caleb, Obama or Romney?
Absolutely, Obama. No doubt in my question. No doubt in my mind.
Why?
Also, no doubt in my question.
Yeah, right. Okay. Either way, why? Why Obama?
You know, Obama, because A, I think he's been a compassionate leader for the past 4 years. I think he's been a steward for the people who have been hit hardest in this recession. I think he's done a lot in terms of higher education, in terms of making that more affordable at a time when we need students to really be thinking hard about higher education. And I think he's also has a social agenda that I approve and that a lot of my peers at Kenyon College approve.
We'll come back and dig in on that. Nicole Bailey, you've already sent in your absentee ballot, so it's a done deal for you. Which, Obama or Romney?
It absolutely has to be Romney. As Romney and Ryan keep reinforcing, the choice is absolutely clear. I think if you just take a look at the prospects for college graduates today and the prospects for college graduates 4 years ago, then it's simply obvious that a compassionate stewardship of the neediest people and the funneling of more federal money into college affordability is not sufficient.
So what you're looking back to 4 years ago, we were sort of in crisis, and you're looking at things today. What's the judgment you're making there on the sitting president, Obama?
I believe that Obama's solution has been to put more and more federal dollars into current programs that have already proven that they don't work. What Mitt Romney is trying to bring to the table is comprehensive reform of student loan programs, of the way that students can have access to health care and basic benefits that more students have been pushed into as a result of the Great Recession.
So so you're still talking about government programs with Romney, but are you on the economy side? Are you thinking he's going to be, might be more effective than President Obama in revving that up for your generation?
In terms of jobs, I really think that he is, and there's two reasons for that. One is because he plans on doing things with the loan programs that incentivize the proper kinds of education that will make U.S. graduates more competitive in the job market and stop artificially inflating demand for 4-year degrees and even graduate degrees that are not helping current college graduates find jobs. And second of all, I think that he is going to create a more friendly environment for private businesses and especially small businesses that will be able to employ students that are graduating and currently are very unemployed or underemployed or even forced to go to graduate school because they do not have a better prospect.
I want to come back and dig in on artificially inflated demand for 4-year degrees. I'm not sure I completely follow, but we'll come back and look at that. Caleb, what about the issue of jobs? Here we are, 4 years into the Obama presidency. That's 4 years of graduating classes who have not come out into, you know, a great situation. What about jobs and the president? If it were to be another 4 years, what are you thinking? A lot rides on that.
Well, you know, I think the artificial thing is an interesting point because I think we know that education is the only thing you can do to guarantee high earning lifelong employment. I think that's the best thing we have, and so I think that's why Obama has really stood behind education reform. Look, it's been tough. We're 4 years into what's probably going to be a 10-year recession. We've added, 5 million jobs in 30 months. And, unemployment amongst college graduates is incredibly high. It's 50%. That said, does that mean that we need to stop putting money into education? I think not at all. I think, you know, what needs to happen is as the economy comes back, jobs for college students will continue to appear. So I think what needs to happen in the meantime is we need to make sure, A, we're doing things to make sure that college students can afford to handle their debt in the first years out. And Obama's done that with things like the pay-as-you-earn program. And I think we also need to do things to make sure that college students have access to health insurance, which Obamacare does by allowing college students to stay or college grads to stay on their parents' insurance till they're 26.
Nicole, I know there are big issues here, and we'll keep it up there. But at the same time, Mitt Romney, you know, he was talking at some point during this campaign about paying for college and said, look, or starting a new business, getting going in the economy, said, you know, you may have to borrow money from your parents to do that. I assume, as you well know, not everybody can do that. So what's the real Romney answer to the costs facing kids when it comes to college and to the challenge of getting started on the other side of graduation?
I think Romney realizes that there is not an inherent value in any college education and that a 4-year degree that costs $50,000 a year might not be a realistic option for a student that hasn't qualified for merit-based aid. Just to cite an example from one of my writers, at an initial cost of attendance at a private university of over $30,000, the government's generosity with need-based taxpayer money covered his bill of $24,000 to every $30,000 he had. And to me, that is not an incentive to push institutions towards cheaper tuition rates. So what Romney wants to do is go ahead and maintain a federal loan program, but consolidate them and target those students who are getting an education that they most desperately need. For example, associate degrees, 2 years degrees, bachelor's degrees in fields like engineering that will guarantee a certification and a job afterwards. That is a more sustainable solution, I believe, than this increase in tuition rates pushed by government money.
Now, this is interesting because, yes, there could be a problem there. That's been an interesting argument about, you know, what drives things up. But Caleb's saying, look out, it's a competitive world. We're going to have an highly educated populace to succeed in that. Obama's laying the groundwork for that. You may disagree. You're saying, for some people, a 4-year degree may be unrealistic, but if it's unrealistic, what kind of jobs are they going to have in the economy we're headed into, Nicole? You know, what are they going to do if they're not highly educated in this globally competitive economy?
Right. I'm not trying to diminish the value of any higher education. I'm trying to diminish the value of, for example, a $50,000 a year second-tier private school education with a degree in sociology that a poor student can't afford. And I can speak from personal experience as a student at the University of Virginia who's been able to work 30 hours a week on top of being a full-time student and pay her own way through college, that it is possible and that a very basic student loan program can enable the poorest students to complete a 4-year degree.
Caleb, there's a message in there from this Romney supporter, Nicole, who says, sober up, everybody. Sober up, young voters. We've got to get serious here. It's not an easy situation. We've got to make choices. Not everybody can have that gold-plated degree. What do you say to that perspective that takes her to Mitt Romney, Caleb?
You know, it's not unreasonable, as you know, as they say of English majors like myself, or the future wait staff of America. You know, there's something to be said for that. At the same time, I think I want to just touch on this idea of this issue of rising tuition, which is a huge problem in this country. Mm-hmm. But I think if you look, public institutions, their tuition has actually risen faster than it has at private institutions in the past 4 years. And why has that happened? That's happened because states have decided to raid their education budgets in order to find money for other things, in order to make cuts. And so as a result, the cost of a four-year public education mm-hmm. has gone up 19%. And actually, Obama, if you take the net cost of what it takes to go to a public institution, so if you take the sticker value and then you subtract what you're going to get from your Pell Grant, which is at the highest level it's ever been, what you're going to get from tax incentives like the American Opportunity Tax Credit that Obama's created, he's actually managed to keep the cost only at $500 has it gone up in the past 4 years.
So Caleb, do you think of yourself as an idealist or a pragmatist in supporting Barack Obama?
You know, I think it's both. I think I'm an idealist because I think he has the right ideas, but I think I'm a pragmatist because I think what he's done has worked and will continue to work for the next 4 years.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking today about the youth vote, the campus vote in the presidential election with college newspaper editors from around the country. The young will live with the future we choose next Tuesday. We're hearing from them today. Numbers show we're going to see less turnout, early surveys say, from the young this time. Mitt Romney leading 52-35. Barack Obama leading 52-35%. And here's one poll, another, the Pew poll says leading 56-35, but without as big a turnout as we saw in 08, which was an historically large youth vote turnout. Nicole Bailey is with us from the University of Virginia. She's behind Mitt Romney. Caleb Bissinger's with us from Kenyon College in Ohio. He's behind Barack Obama. We've got more coming in just a second, but a couple of calls first. East Lansing, Michigan. Sonny's calling. Hi, Sonny. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. You know, I like some of the ideas that President Obama has presented, and I guess as I'm getting closer and closer to graduation with probably $50,000 in total debt when I graduate,
yeah,
I've decided that I can't afford just, kumbaya ideas because it hasn't turned out to create the kind of economy and jobs that I'm going to be needing when I graduate.
And you're associating Barack Obama with kumbaya ideas, and what about Mitt Romney?
Well, Mitt Romney's ideas and his plans are more founded in reality, I believe. I mean, the longer I've been studying this and the closer I get to graduation and the more I have to deal with the facts of financial realities that I'm going to be facing, as much as I like the idea of everyone getting everything that they would want and everything that they need, I just, you know, I need someone that's going to create an economy that provides jobs and one that I need. So
everybody's feeling that. What are you studying, Sonny, if I may ask? What are you working on?
Business.
Got it. At what, Michigan State?
Yeah, Michigan State, yes.
Got it. Sonny says, get real, go Romney. Thank you, Sonny. Let me get another in here. Ian in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Ian, you're on.
Hi, Tom. I resoundingly support Barack Obama. And one of the issues that's important to me is renewable energy, green jobs. And I'm actually out here in Iowa, a state that generates 20% of its electricity from wind energy.
Yeah.
And in Mitt Romney's economic plan, he talks about the myth of green jobs. And quite frankly, that's a lie and that's insulting. And I think we should be doing a lot more, as Barack Obama has done, to invest in not just wind, but solar, bioenergy, and really grow these jobs for our future.
So you say long-term, look future, look energy, and you see jobs right now. That takes you to Barack Obama. Got it, Ian. I appreciate your call in Council Bluffs. So one more, and we'll go to more of our guests here. Craig in Wells, New York. Craig, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Okay. What do you think, Craig?
Well, I'm thinking that the as a student, you know, I have a lot of friends who are in debt because of the student loans that they've taken out.
Yep.
And seeing the economic situation that the country's in, that maybe voters need to look towards third parties rather than this duopoly we have, this two-party monopoly that we have going on in this country for years, decades.
So, Craig, how old are you and who does that leave you looking at?
I'm 23 years old, but I'm undecided right now between the major third-party candidates, I call them. There's Jill Stein of the Green Party. There's Gary Johnson of the Libertarian Party. There's Virgil Good of the Constitution Party. And there's Merlin Miller of American Third Position as well.
Wow, that is a highly informed no to the duopoly position there. Interesting, looking at both the Green Party and the Libertarian, but not a Republican and Democrat. Craig, I appreciate your call as well. We'll come to that perspective. Caleb Bissinger, Nicole Bailey, please stand by. Two more voices, two more places with us right now from Iowa and Florida. Catherine Klingseis is editor-in-chief of the Iowa State Daily in Ames, Iowa, a junior majoring in journalism, born and bred in Ames. She joins us from WBEZ in Chicago, where she's attending the Associated College Press National College Media Convention in Chicago. Catherine, thanks very much for being here.
Thanks, Tom.
And from WLRN in Miami, Stephanie Parra is with us, news editor of the Miami Hurricane at the University of Miami, a junior majoring in journalism, mass communications, sociology. She was out covering Mitt Romney's campaign rally in Coral Gables yesterday, native of Miami. Stephanie Parra, thanks to you.
Thanks, Tom.
So where do you stand on this vote, Stephanie? You're in Miami, Florida, like other states we've got here, big, important swing state. Where do you stand personally at this point?
At this point, honestly, I think I'm leaning more toward Romney. I think that's something needs to be done to fix this economy. Barack Obama has had 4 years to improve our economy, and not enough has been done to help small business owners.
So is it a close call for you? Is it a slam dunk for Romney? How do you look at it?
I mean, it's still a pretty much close call, but at this point in time, with 5 days before the election, I'm looking more toward improvements to the economy that need to be made with the new presidential candidate. I was a little undecided, and I still, you know, like when I think of every single issue that I care about for this election, I do see myself having agreements with Obama's platforms. However, the economy is what's really taking full stage at the moment. So.
I know, Stephanie, you've got immigrant parents out of Cuba. That's a Republican household, but one that's very attuned to immigration issues. How's that played out in your thinking?
It's very difficult to align myself with one political party that, you know, has one particular platform or several particular platforms that I agree with. So it's very difficult, honestly, to select one. So I think the best thing to do at this point is to choose the problem that's plaguing me most at the moment. So
reservations maybe with Romney on immigration, but it's economy first for you, and that is pushing you to the Romney side of the ledger. Catherine Klingseis, Iowa State Daily, endorsed President Obama or Barack Obama in 2008, and this year has come out and said, we're not endorsing anybody. I've got a feeling that may sort of capture where you stand, Catherine. What about your paper, and what about you on this vote?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. The editorial board's decision was entirely the same as mine. I know in 2008, the Iowa State and Ames community, it was just an overwhelming support for Barack Obama. And this year, it's been kind of half and half. If you go driving by different households, you'll see just scattered all over different signs for Barack Obama and Mitt Romney equally. So I guess as far as my personal opinion, I'm very much undecided at this point.
I mean, how on earth, maybe you're preserving this as a matter of journalistic integrity, don't want to say, but how do you make your decision between now and Tuesday? That's only a handful of days, Catherine.
Yeah, I mean, I will definitely have to be doing some more research. I mean, it's difficult because, as you said, I mean, Barack Obama is this charismatic person who has is kind of the savior for the poor, for the needy, which is definitely from coming from a middle class, lower class, lower middle class mm-hmm. family. It's very hard to turn my back away from what he stands for. But at the same time, I mean, Mitt Romney is touted for his business sense. And in the state of the economy right now, I mean, it's hard to turn my back on someone who is so apt in business sense.
Caleb, here's a little bit from Catherine's newspaper, the Iowa State Daily. They said, in deciding to endorse no one this time, they said, we're not going to choose the lesser of two evils. They wrote, Barack Obama's inexperienced naivete has led to an ineffective presidency. And the Republican Party, wrote the Iowa State Daily, has failed to produce a qualified and competent alternative, choosing instead a non-political, flip-flopping, quasi-liberal corporatist as their candidate. They're saying none of the above, or at least no endorsement, Caleb. Can you see why some young people, this newspaper, student newspaper, may be torn this year?
Look, I mean, at Kenyon, we've seen a lot of apathy. Last night in the newsroom, I had one of my editors say, yeah, I'm going to vote for Obama, but it's, you know, it's the lesser of two evils, I guess. It's been, you know, it's certainly not the same. I think I don't know if I'd use the word naivete, but it's not a wait. I mean, the Kenyan College Democrats have this year registered 800 voters, but they said they've had an inordinate number of people come up to the desk and say, you know what, look, the system's broken, both parties are broken, we're just not really interested in participating. And to me, that's a shame because despite, you know, has the Obama administration been perfect? No. Is the Republican Party perfect? No. But is to take yourself out of the voting game, to me, that the right move? Is that a good way to ensure our future? No, I don't think so. So the apathy is there, and it's concerning.
Stephanie, look around your campus. I'm sure you do, heading up news for the Miami Hurricane. I mean, how do you judge this sort of the weight of student support there? Is there a clear majority one way or the other to one candidate or the other, or is it a toss-up? How's it look, Stephanie?
I think it's definitely divided between both parties. Miami is its own little microcosm. So it's definitely clear. We have two organizations on campus that are definitely driving the vote to either party. So it's not one way or the other at this point.
Let's go to Emma in St. Louis, Missouri. Emma, thank you very much. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I go to the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm a nursing student there.
Great.
And I just want to talk about the women issue in this country right now. I am part of Rock the Slut Vote. It's a Facebook group online. It's also an organization you can find through Google, which just supports the facts about birth control and Plan B. We need these medications to make us stable as women, and I can't believe that we're still having this conversation today in 2012. Honestly, President Barack Obama is a great advocate for women. Women for Barack, I mean, it's a great movement. We need these women to be stable in their jobs once getting out of college. I know that the economy and job deficit are important, but as a woman, these issues need to be addressed. And
Emma, we've got it. We'll pick it up from the University of Missouri there. Thanks for coming in. Catherine, what about at Iowa State and the issue and the women's issues? Are they playing big for you, or are they playing big for your fellow students?
I mean, definitely. Iowa State is socially more liberal than other communities in Iowa, Ames, as a larger cosm. But I definitely think as far as women issues, we have a Planned Parenthood not that far away from our central campus. And I know that women are definitely very outspoken in support for Barack Obama at Iowa State. We had a column not that long ago that dealt with that issue, and we had a lot of response in regards to that column. And so, I mean, I think as far as women issues, it's very much leaning toward Obama.
What are you hearing from your parents or your mom on that front this time? Are they thinking about the economy first or social issues first? Your mom, the economy, jobs, women, both?
My mom's most definitely thinking about the economy more than anything. Definitely with Mitt Romney saying that parents can pay for college. My mom, she's a waitress, and so she definitely cannot pay for my college. I've been very lucky, very fortunate in the scholarships and financial aid that I've received. And so to say that she can pay for my college, she knows that if that were the case, I simply would not be going to college.
So has that pushed her, what, to Obama then, you're saying?
Definitely, yeah. She's very much supportive for Obama.
What about your dad? Republican, Democrat, Obama, Romney?
He's also Democratic. He's also a Democrat. And in that sense, he's also he's very much in support of the economic plans that Barack Obama has with student loans, student financial aid. They're very, I'm an only child, and so they definitely want to see me taken care of as far as college goes.
So it sounds like he may vote the same way as your mom there, or you don't know.
Yeah, he actually just filled in his ballot yesterday and sent it in, so.
The early voting push is on. Zach in Amherst, Massachusetts. Zach, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is my first time calling in.
Great. Good to have you. What do you think?
I just have a couple of points. Number one, on what Nicole was saying, I don't think that student loans and grants should be just for the neediest of students. I mean, I'm a middle-class family. My parents make almost $100,000 a year. I go to UMass Amherst, and I wouldn't be able to afford this without the loans and grants that I get from the school and from the federal government. I just don't think that's how that student loans should work. And just a little note also, the only other two businessmen who have been president are George W. Bush and Herbert Hoover.
So I guess you're leaning in the Obama direction here, but let us pick it up. It's a great point, Zach. Nicole, what about it? I mean, here's Zach who says, okay, good, you're looking out for the neediest, but he's middle class, and it looks to him like the middle class is going to need support in the system we've got here to get that education. What do you say, Nicole?
What I think Zach is doing, thank you for your question, Zach, but what I think Zach is doing is comparing apples and oranges, to be honest. What he's referring to would just be a change in available loans within the current system, but I think what Mitt Romney is proposing is an actual system change where loans would only be available to the neediest students, and that would force both public and private institutions to compete for students on merit at a lower tuition rate. The only reason why tuition rates are increasing at the extraordinary rate faster than inflation than they are is because of this artificial demand for degrees that government loan programs have created.
Caleb, what do you say? Give some support to the poorest. Let everybody else, fight for what they can get, and that will bring tuition down. Do you see that happening, Caleb?
Yeah, I don't think students should be competing for an education. I think educators should be competing to offer educations to students. I don't know. I can't see eye to eye with Nicole in this one. I think the fact that Pell Grants are up 50%, I think that's a huge thing in this country. I think obviously the needy, we need to make sure that they're absolutely getting the merit-based aid that they need and the need-based aid that they need. But I think we need to provide for the middle class as well. And I think, I see that at Kenyon, at a private institution, where there are a lot of these students who are right on that borderline where their parents make $100,000, their parents make enough that they can maybe squeeze the tuition, but it's hard. And I think we got to help them out. And I think that anytime dollars and cents really prevent you from choosing to go to an institution that you really want to go to and that you think you deserve to go to, I think that's heartbreaking. I think that's what will happen under Mitt Romney. I just don't want to see that happen.
Catherine, what do you think? There's kind of two philosophies here. The Obama philosophy, invest in America. Maybe the other, that with Romney, let market efficiencies sort it out, power it up. Which way do you lean, Catherine?
Well, I mean, to be honest, with Iowa's the sixth ranked, with the average, the state with the sixth ranked highest debt, average debt. And Iowa State is even above that. And so I think at this point, the top concern is keeping student debt down. Obviously, job placement is important as well. But I mean, I think the issue, at least in Iowa, is student debt.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the youth vote, the campus vote in the presidential election with college newspaper editors from around the country. We're joined this hour by four editors from colleges around the country. Stephanie Parr is with us. News editor of the Miami Hurricane joins us from Miami. Catherine Klingseis is with us. Editor-in-chief of the Iowa State Daily joins us from Chicago today. Nicole Bailey is here from Charlottesville, Virginia. Editor-in-chief of the Virginia Advocate at the University of Virginia. And Caleb Bissinger is here from Kenyon College, editor-in-chief at the Kenyon Collegian. And Caleb, Nicole, Catherine, Stephanie, lots of callers for the four of you. Charlotte is calling from Montpelier, Vermont. Charlotte, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What's on your mind?
My concern, I'm voting for Obama, and the reason is I think that Romney is embarrassingly underqualified to be the leader of the free world. He will no doubt make terrible foreign policy mistakes, and although student debt and jobs are crucial and our economy is very important, I have to vote for foreign policy here. I mean, we are a diversified world now, and our role internationally is incredibly important, and I don't think Romney will ever be qualified for that position.
That's sort of pessimistic about the possibility for learning and growth, I guess, but what kind of mistakes are you worried about, Charlotte?
I guess his views on the Middle East and his views on the defense budget are entirely misplaced. That's how I feel.
And what about those who would say, well, 4 years ago, President Obama was hardly a seasoned commander-in-chief?
He has a sensibility and decorum about him that allows him to make more sensible decisions than I think Romney would ever be able to make.
Charlotte, thanks for your call. Let's pick it up. Stephanie Parra, what about it when it comes to foreign policy, America's way in the world? What about these two candidates and how you look at them?
You know, Tom, I think I agree with you. 4 years ago, President Obama did not have any qualifications for foreign policy. And, I mean, you know, I guess it's not an issue that's so, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say you don't necessarily have to have qualifications, but at the same time, President Obama did not have qualifications, and I think he's done a great job in that aspect. But at the same time, I don't think that that's a problem for the 2012 elections that it was for the 2008 election. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, Charlotte mentions the Middle East. There's, you know, talk of potential. Everybody, we hope not war in the next year with Iran. Vice President Biden puts it on the table that way. Do you want war? Who do you think is more likely to take us in or keep us out of war, Stephanie?
I would say, I don't think that candidate Romney would want, to take us into war, although I could see why people would think that. I don't know exactly what stand he would exactly take. I don't think that's his priority coming, or if he were elected into office.
Caleb, do you see students at Kenyon focused on these issues of foreign policy, international relations, the U.S. position, war?
Yes and no. I mean, I think a lot of students at Kenyon saw the last debate, and I think a lot of students at Kenyon saw that President Obama clearly knows his stuff on foreign policy and candidate Romney not so much. For me, my sense of the biggest issues on the Kenyon campus are domestic social issues. That's that's gay marriage, that's women's health and equal pay for equal work. Those are the things that the Kenyan kids are most fired up about. And so that to me is really what's driving pro-Obama support on our campus. And I think it looks like turnout for Obama is going to be, I mean, upwards of 90% on the Kenyan campus. And I think those are really some of the main reasons behind it.
Nicole, there in Charlottesville, here's a challenge from a listener, Maureen. She says, call his associate Romney with good business because he's made millions, but what about the Bain Capital track record? Their method is to systematically remove full-time jobs that give good benefits so the cats on the top get fatter. Where do people see good jobs for many Americans in Romney's plan? What do you say to that perspective, Nicole?
When Romney was employed at Bain Capital, his job was to make Bain Capital successful. I don't really understand how his experience at Bain Capital quite shows exactly what he would do as president. If we recall Obama 4 years ago, he didn't come in with a lot of experience, and we've had 4 years to see exactly what he would do. Romney coming in, I believe he legitimately wants to make small businesses successful, and that for him has been the hallmark of what he would say would determine his success after his presidency if he were to be elected. So I think that would be his priority in the role as president.
And what about issues of what everybody growing with the economy here? President Obama says, Nicole, we want to grow this economy from the middle out. We want an economy with less inequality. Are those concerns to you?
I want to go ahead and tie this in to connect the needs of the poorest Americans with the issues about women that we've been talking about. I want to point out that the poverty rate right now among women is the worst it's been in 17 years, and the extreme poverty rate is the worst it's ever been in recorded history in the United States.
Do you put that on Obama or on the collapse of 2007-08, the economic collapse? How do you look at it?
In part, that has to do with the Great Recession, but I think it is a solid indicator that Obama's response has been inadequate. I think that what Romney is going to do, which should be also the primary issue for women, is revitalize the economy and provide, for example, current women that are graduating for college with jobs so that they don't have to worry about getting free pills from the government because they are able to afford it themselves autonomously.
Catherine, in Iowa, at Iowa State, what do you say to that?
Well, I mean, I think at this point, it's really people are having to decide if they want to give Obama another 4 years. A lot of people have become disillusioned by what he has done. He ran on a campaign of hope and change, and I think people have really lost a lot of hope in him. And so, I mean, I think it's... I mean, we have this quarterback football battle where we over the starting quarterback. And at this point, you know, some people, once the starting quarterback does really awfully, they say, OK, we'll take him out and put this other guy in. Well, I think that's very similar to what's happening at the presidential level. I think people are saying he's had his chance. Obama has had his chance. Let's bring Romney in. Whereas others say, you know, Obama, you know, had a rough patch at the beginning. I mean, he started, he didn't come into presidency.
What do you say to those who say,
very good.
Yeah. What do you say to those who would say he came in, you know, when they were 50 points down and half the team was bandaged?
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's exactly the point a lot of people are making, that he didn't start off very well. I guess that's what a lot of people are talking about at this point, whether or not to give him another chance or to switch in this new guy who is a great businessman.
Yeah. We hear that. We hear the dissent from our listener on that flavor of business. But we hear Nicole saying, look, that was his job when he had that post. Andrew in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Andrew, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
As to Romney, I would really love to hear a justification how anyone, you know, could vote for him into office. It seems to me like he really, really lacks a conscience. I've heard a lot of talk as far as his business acumen and how that would, you know, be very advantageous to the struggling economy and really help get us back where we were. But honestly, I just see him as ruthless. Maybe he might get us back where we were, but at Bain Capital, he just went and took over companies and ran them into the ground sometimes and made a profit. And we only hear about the success stories. I really feel like he does not care for the most part about the lower class, the middle class. It seems to me like he wants to grow the economy by helping the wealthiest 1% and basically throwing the rest of us to the wolves.
Andrew, give us a bead on where you come from. How old are you? What are you up to these days?
I'm 22 years old. I'm not in school right now. I went a year and dropped out and got a job at a recycling plant that opened up here in Frankfurt and worked my way up to operator.
Good for you on that front. So when you look, so it sounds like you're not too crazy about Romney. When you look at the sitting president, Obama, do you feel hopeful there or not, given, you know, it's been a rough 4 years?
I do feel hopeful there. I feel very hopeful there. I mean, around the time he came in, we're big into basketball here. Around the time he came in, we had come off a horrible basketball season and had a new guy come in with nothing and built us back up to greatness. We just won a title. But anyway, I could see the very same thing with Obama. Now, he might not have gotten us back to the lofty, you know, place we used to be, but I really feel like he has not been ineffectual. He's not been naive. I really feel like he's had been more or less done a pretty good job.
Andrew,
came in and had a very horrible situation, and at worst, I could say he got us back to at least a sense of stability.
Andrew, I'm very glad to hear from you there at the recycling plant. I hope things go well for you, and I really appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in. Let me get one more right here, if I may. Thanks, Andrew. Somerville, Massachusetts. Ben, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. What do you think?
I'm not a student anymore. I graduated about 5 years ago, and I'm a little taken aback some of the things I'm hearing, especially more from the Romney camp. The idea that this is so much about jobs, about when I graduate, I need to find a job, and Romney's going to do a better job of finding me a job. I know it's a concern. I got scared when I graduated from college, but I worked at CVS. I bussed tables, I waited tables, and eventually I got a job doing what I love to do. But it wasn't just handed to me, and I don't know. It's like this idea that the only concern that we should have is, are we going to get a good $50,000 a year job coming right out of college when there are so many other issues? The environment, women's rights, gay rights. I don't know. It strikes me as kind of selfish.
Well, fair enough on your point. On the other hand, you've got to be sympathetic to people who are hoping for an economy that will give them employment when they come out. I mean, even a job at CVS hasn't been that easy to come across in some of these recent years. I mean, is hoping for a more robust economy the same as thinking, give me a job, Ben?
Hoping for it, no. But there are a whole bunch of other issues that need to be considered. And I think they're equally, if not more, important.
What kind of job did you work your way toward? With a big company or your something of your own? Or what are you doing, Ben?
Well, actually, a little bit of both. I got into brewing by delivering kegs and washing kegs, and then got into the brew house. And then I started my own little small business, which is actually where I am right now.
And so does that leave you as a small business Romney guy or a small business Obama guy? What?
Obama guy, yeah. I know Romney would probably, you know, cut my corporate tax rate. That would be great, and get rid of some of the regulations that make my life more difficult. But the consequences of that, the consequences for society of just deregulating, of just I don't know. It seems selfish of me to vote for Romney.
Ben, I appreciate your call. Stephanie Parra, what do you say to that? I think your dad's a small business guy. Here, Ben has started his own finally, and he says, let's look beyond just the jobs and economy issue. There's a lot more on the table here when it comes to, you know, healthcare, women's rights issue, the environment, all the rest. How do you weigh those, Stephanie?
At this point, I think that there's a time and a place for everything, and the time now is to prioritize the economy and to fix the economy. You know, my father was a small business owner for 27 years, had to shut down his corporation, build a new one, just because, you know, not enough was being done for small businesses. Banks are not willing to help small businesses, and, you know, small businesses are what drive the American dream. So if we're not helping small businesses and if we're not prioritizing and giving breaks to small businesses like President Obama promised 4 years ago, then I don't think our economy is going to improve. And I don't think without an improved economy, we can focus then on ameliorating our social policies.
The president says, hey, I've done a lot for small business. And, you know, we got handed a basket of woe where banks had really messed things up. And there's your lending problem. What do you say to that?
You know, I disagree. I don't think that enough has been done for small businesses. I mean, I live it. I see my father's dreams crushed before his eyes because banks aren't willing to help him. You know, I know that the small businesses, like the small business sphere, can be improved. I witness it every day. So I don't think when he says he's done enough to help small businesses, I don't think that's the case. And I would disagree. I think this is the time to be selfish and to vote for, you know, improvements in small business like Romney is, you know, promising.
Hey, so. Caleb, what do you say? Prioritize the economy now. The rest can wait, or we'll be better when the economy's better.
Look, Romney says, go to a second-tier school, have your parents lend you money to do that, and then have them lend you a little more money to start a small business. That doesn't sound like a great small business plan to me. Look, obviously the economy is at the forefront of everyone's minds. And it's certainly at the forefront of soon-to-be graduates' minds. That said, I think something that really matters is obviously growing small businesses, but also growing real jobs that that have you know, a decent starting point salary and are going to have salaries. If you look at economic data, if you graduate into a recession, You start at a lower income and you never regain that in that profession throughout your entire career. And so that means we need to definitely bring back the economy so that those starting incomes are back where they should be. And I think has the growth been amazing in the past 4 years? No, it hasn't been astronomical. Has it been better than the austerity we've seen in Europe? Absolutely. I think Obama has us on the right track. And I think to pull him out of the game right now is just a real coaching error.
Catherine Klingseis there in Chicago, out of Iowa State. You're our last undecided here. What are you going to be meditating on this weekend as you think about how you will pull the lever on Tuesday? What are going to be the, I don't know, you don't have to tell us where you're going to end up voting, but what are you going to be thinking about?
I mean, I think as far as the way I'm thinking, Barack Obama has been painted by Mitt Romney as this person who is just cannot handle a budget, just is fiscally irresponsible. Whereas Obama's campaign has painted Mitt Romney as this, devil-like businessman who will do anything for money. And so, I mean, it's difficult as someone who is undecided to choose between those two. And that's why, I mean, on our editorial board, that's exactly what we said, what we meant when we said we don't want to choose between the lesser of two evils. So at this point, I'm going to have to make a decision, and it will probably come down to the wire for me.
Well, welcome to the roller derby. Good luck with your decision. Make it a good one. Whatever that means for you. Catherine Klingseis, editor-in-chief of the Iowa State Daily. Thank you so much for being with us, Catherine.
Thank you.
Stephanie Parra at the Miami Hurricane, University of Miami. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Nicole Bailey at the Virginia Advocate, UVA. Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you.
And Caleb Bissinger, Kenyon Collegian's editor-in-chief. Thanks so much to all of you. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.